What do you do if you're Caoimhín Kelleher? What's your sense from Caoimhín Kelleher's reaction to You'll Never Walk Alone?
Just having a great time.
The body language experts.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line. Try from Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
You're very welcome along to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. My name's Rory O'Hagan from Off the Ball, joined on the line by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes to discuss what was, let's call a spade, a poor Munster performance and a shocking result for the Reds at this stage of the season. Got a lot to discuss. Fiona, Quinny, how are you guys?
Good. I'm away in Portugal with the girls after the AIL final, so my eyes are a little bit worse for wear, but I'm good. I'm feeling great. Bit of sun.
Quinny, how good was that performance from Bose against the Railway Union? A fantastic win for them in the Aviva.
It was brilliant. Sunday was a good day for both of us. Liverpool won the league as well. I was delighted for Fiona. Look, it's tough. The emotion of putting and the effort and discipline that any coach at any level has to put in for the whole year. She lost a couple of players. She was playing that down a bit last week. But, it's a great achievement. It's brilliant. And it's lovely to see that. I experienced that myself when I played with Shannon. Obviously, from a club point of view, coming back to Limerick that night, the crack is mighty. Yeah. You have great fun. So that was lovely to see. And that's sport, you know, the highs and the lows. And sometimes you get to lift a trophy. So Friday night wasn't good. That was a bad start to the weekend. And Friday, the performance, Munster's performance. And the precarious position they now find themselves in. You know, that's the problem here. Out of the last five league games, they've won one game. If you go back to the Edinburgh game in Cork, which was a lot of issues in that game around scrum time. They fought back. And it's been the story of the season. So many issues around the injuries at times. But the last few weeks, I know they've had a few injuries, but the teams that have went out have been pretty decent on paper, but they've underperformed and made too many mistakes. After the Edinburgh game in Glasgow, it was always going to be tough on the Friday night. Glasgow would have been down a number of their internationals. Munster actually did really well. It was a game they could have and possibly should have won. Connacht and Castlebar, crazy match. The sending off in Ankerville, the yellow card at Tyburn, a lot of things went wrong. They played brilliant in patches, managed the game when they were down a player or two. Got the result, could have lost it right at the end against Connacht. And then the Bulls and Cardiff, you're looking at two games there on paper, and I know paper takes ink and it's not a true reflection or reality of sometimes the challenge ahead, but I think the last 2 weeks have been pretty dour, to be honest. And I think there's a lot of repeat situations and mistakes going on here, and collectively, they put themselves in a really tough position. You know, they were in fifth there a couple of weeks ago. You're looking at, I even mentioned the possibility of chasing the fourth spot or even a third spot by winning your last four or five games, which were attainable and achievable. And they now find themselves down ninth. You know, look, it's in their own control to get into the playoffs. At least if they win their two games, they'll be in the playoffs. Being in the playoffs is one thing, but being in Europe for me next year is vital for a club like Munster. I think most likely you'll have to finish in the top seven to be in Europe. So, it's a tough one. It was a very disappointing performance, and we can go in depth a little bit more. But a lot of people were very, very disappointed. Take that game on Friday night. I think things went wrong against them for the Bulls with the reduction in numbers. And to be fair, the Bulls have got stronger and they're a powerful side. And they showed that by going to Glasgow and winning at the weekend. I just thought Cardiff on Friday night exposed a lot of flaws and a lot of concerns that They need to start out quickly. It's a pity because the season feels like it's petering out a little bit.
Yeah, it certainly does. Just two games left for Munster. I meant to say at the top of the show, we're going to have an interview with Jane Clossy about her first Ireland cap coming up a little bit later on in the show. And we'll talk to her about all that a little bit later on. Some of the comments reaching us, Fiona, not a lot of happy Munster fans, understandably.
Yeah, definitely not. But I'll start with Ed Keane McGibney. He said, given the light margin of defeat in two previous games, have Munster enough in the tank to get two wins plus the 10 points on offer? John Carroll, I think I agree with this one. Munster's discipline is absolutely shocking in the second half of the season. Yellow card count is through the roof, not to mind penalties against them. The attack must be the easiest to read in the ERC. He almost feels like the lads want the season to be over. Worrying times for Munster. Paul O'Sullivan, another frustrating...
Just on that discipline, yeah. Fiona. Munster have had nine yellows and one red in the last six matches. Like...
crazy. Yeah.
That person's talking about the discipline. It's shocking. It's you know, there's always going to be an odd yellow here and there, and look, again, people could point the finger at me, but like, it's not good enough. You're trying to win matches at the business end of the season, and the discipline has been really poor, and I agree with that message as well.
Yeah. A couple more and then I'll leave it. Paul O'Sullivan said, another frustrating loss. The line out is a disaster. The jumpers are more confused than Niall Scannell about who's jumping up to catch the ball. Along with Scannell not throwing the ball straight a few times, discipline is another issue again. Challenge Cup atonement is a scary thought. The only positive I could take from the game was how good Michael Milne was at scrum and around the pitch. And last one, Mike Costlow, not good enough. Former Munster players are calling out the policy of the RFU for what it is, are not calling out the policy for what it is. The downgrading of Munster has been in effect for years. Desperate to see.
Plenty of comments there. Not a lot of happy Munster fans. Fiona, when you were watching the game, what was your biggest takeaway from Munster's performance?
Look, there's a couple of areas. You know, I'm always reluctant to chat about how bad like situations are, in particular the line-out, if it's, you know, if they've had a couple of good games and then, you know, things came crashing down. So wasn't good enough against the Bulls. And Bordeaux was the shambles at line-out time. But to add to that now for the third time in a row, I think it was in the 60%, low 60s%. That is not good enough at that standard of rugby. Munster in particular have a lot of good launch plays. They do off line out and they just haven't been able to do that, and that affects everything going on in the back line as well. But certainly that was an area, Rory, I was really disappointed in, because I thought after the chatter around it that they'd fix it and that we'd see a vast improvement in that area, and it just didn't happen. So the more that happens, now teams are going to absolutely go after the lineout. So yes, it's two games at home we have coming up, but I reckon Ulster, Benetton, it's an area they're really going to focus, and Munster are a little bit rattled in that area. And just the other thing, discipline was one, but the handling nerves is very, very frustrating, especially kind of when they're getting a bit of momentum. They've stringed a few phases together. You think they're getting inside of 22, things are going really well, and it's just very simple, basic handling errors, skill set, and that to me is almost like a concentration thing. So that's very frustrating, even the end of the game, and I think he's unbelievable. But Munster had a chance, they were inside in Cardiff's half, and to finish off, Takir Abims gets the ball ripped or knocks it on the floor, and it's just an easy out for Cardiff, and you just can't be giving teams like that that fight that we see. Yes, we see it week in, week out at Munster, but they need to be able to up it to another level, especially for these last two games.
Tony, we've talked about the line-out week in, week out on this podcast. You must have been pulling your hair out watching that game on last weekend.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And look, it's probably easier for me to assess it from where I am. But like, the stats show, the numbers show, and the effect that this is having on their attack, on their defence, trying to get out of their own half. You win a line out, you secure it, you put it down the opposition half. simplicity around that is and the effect it can have, a positive effect it can have on your team. I said it last week, there's a 5 meter line out after half time against the Bulls, kick into the corner, loads of movement in the line out, ball is thrown to the tail. Ruan Norquia just picks the ball off. Chance gone from Munster. They clear the lines. You know, it's a massive, massive part of it. There's lineouts there against Cardiff the other night where I just, even as the ball was coming in, I was just like, this is just a mess. Their movement is poor. Their setup in the lineout is all wrong. From what I can see, and obviously if somebody wants to come back and challenge me on this, they can tell me different. They're very bunched. They're compressed. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on with that line-out, and it's like this, the percentages are there for everybody to see. So I'm not trying to be overcritical here, but like, if you can't win your line-outs, you lose 4 or 5 line-outs a game, and that's a low number that they're losing.
Wait, do you think they're compressed for a reason? Like, are they told to be compressed?
I don't know. I don't know what way they're being coached or how they're running this, but like, they're making it easy for opposition to put pressure on them. You need to stretch your line-out and use the full length and distance of that line out. You need good movement, you need sharp movement, you need less panic, more confidence, and more accuracy around what you're doing in everything. Lift, throw, jump, speed of movement on the ground, all of that. And I just think at the moment, the line outs they're doing are easier to pick off, you know what I mean? I'm not going to go and tell you because I don't have a flip board here or a chart to start drawing out lineouts, but I would change things up a little bit, the spacings, and stretch that lineout out a little bit more. But look, it's difficult when you're in that position because every forwards coach before they play Munster are saying, let's go after their lineout here because they've been losing lineouts and they're jittery and there's a confidence probably is low. So they're probably getting extra scrutiny. Sometimes the lineouts you go in and you say, look, we stay down. There's no point in losing, putting boys in the air when the opposition are probably going to maul. And you pick and choose your battles. The same at scrum time. If you go into every scrum and say, we're going to try and drive the opposition off here, well, and you're not going anywhere, you're kind of using up needless energy. But 62% of the lineout return against the Bordeaux, 73% against the Bulls. And on that 73%, like some of them were thrown out over the back, like they were the winning in lineout over the tail. 64% return against Cardiff. Like it is a real problem now, and that's the reality. I'm not talking about this for the sake of it, and this is costing them dearly in matches. And it's not just their ability to win their own ball. There's very little pressure on the opposition throw. There's a bit, but not enough. Now, Peter O'Mahony's not there. Thomas Ahern wasn't there on Friday night. There's been a bit of chopping and change, and Klein is on the bench. You know, that decision was made for a reason, maybe to bring him on and bring that bit of power and ballast. But Munster are 19-12 up, is it, or is it 21-12 up? And they're in. This is the game. 49 minutes. Tom Farrell scores the try. It's do the simple things well. Pin Cardiff back. Tactically and territorially, just do the simple stuff well. And, you know, Cardiff were spinning the ball around from the very start of the game. Their attack was very impressive, and that's the way they went after Munster. So, look, we spoke about the discipline. It was 11 penalties in the game. It's not an astronomical number, but there's a few stupid ones in there. And even the two yellow cards, it's hard to be overly critical on both Finian Witcherly and Jack O'Donoghue. Finian Witcherly's kind of wrap tackle, it hits his fingers, yellow card. I thought it was a tough yellow card. Jack O'Donoghue does make contact with the hooker, Liam Belcher. He's not on his own, he's not out in the open. Technically, it's another yellow card. But, you know, Munster had a lot of possession that game. Didn't have the territory that was required, and Cardiff were very good. I wasn't surprised that they were going to go after Munster and challenging. But 16 turnovers lost again in the game. You mentioned it, Fiona. It's some of this stuff. You said, I'm pulling my hair out. The Munster coaches are probably pulling their own hair out because, you know, I really thought leaving Bordeaux a few weeks ago, I thought if they can take the positives out of this second half and the effort and the attack and what they created and when they went after Bordeaux, I know there's a desperation there. The game is over at halftime. But I said, if you can harness that now, keep this group together, there's a makings of a really dangerous team here to finish out the season. And they could rattle a few teams in the playoffs if they get there. But look, they lost two games. One game, like they won one game in five. So people talk about Liverpool's title win and the Man United fans of this world and the Arsenal fans of this world. You're one of them, Rory, trying to downgrade it. But the league table doesn't lie.
Doesn't.
Sometimes it can be a bit skewed in between at times. But the league table is the league table. Munster have lost too many games this year. And it's very concerning. And Connacht have as well. And Ulster have. So, you know, I think there's one of the messages I saw coming through is it's totally lopsided, Leinster and the other three provinces. You know, I think the other three provinces obviously need a little bit more scrutiny and support maybe to get them better, because I think it's better for Irish rugby if that gap is closer. But Leinster have, you know, they've been the standard bearers. The other provinces should be trying to find ways of how they can close the gap as well. And making basic mistakes and not being able to win a lineout is not going to get you anywhere closer to closing the gap when it's a consistent problem.
$1 million question, Fiona, is where do Munster go from here?
Well, all they can do, I suppose, is they have two home games.
But I think, sorry for interrupting, I think they're better than what we've seen.
Mm. Yeah, they get there.
So that's probably where they can go. They need to just get the finger out here and say, you know, do the basics way better and take ownership, because they're a better team than this. That's probably it. I'm sorry for interrupting and saying kind of that. Because you're answering the question. I think they're better than what we've seen in the last few weeks. I believe they are.
Of course they are. I mean, we saw it against La Rochelle. If they can come up with that big performance in Europe, they've got the ability to go. And they are getting players back as well. That's why you're exciting. Like, I was excited to see Mike Haley back in the starting squad last week. But then are you saying, are they being thrown in the deep end without having played a lot of that level rugby, I suppose, after, on the back of an injury as well? So are we rushing players in? Do you know what I mean? Because Haley, I think they targeted him at times as well last week. But certainly we know how good he is, and he can come up with a huge performance in the next couple of games. So another thing I'd like to see, I don't know if Quinny feels the same, if it's injury, obviously injury dependent, but I'd like to see them sticking with a similar pack for both games. Get the lads starting together and going into the last game as well. If they can get the win, obviously against Ulster, it'll be huge. And then getting into that Benetton game, I'd like to see a consistency in that pack, especially for that line-out, that they have the same guys working together. Yes, you can bring guys in off the bench, but there is a lot of chopping and changing. And Quinny alluded to it as well, but you're talking about Klein starting on the bench with Peter O'Mahony out. That's a huge takeaway from that line-out. I know we Jack O'Donoghue in, but certainly I'd like to see consistency there. But look, it's very doable. That's what I think. They can put in these big performances, but they've got to sort the line out, and they have got to, I don't like these errors, Quinny, like they're so prevalent the last couple of games. I personally don't think it's the pressure from opposition. I think it's like just simple, basic concentration.
Yeah, there's something wrong with this team the last few weeks, whether it's confidence, whether it's guys dialing out, whether it's attitude. It's not at the level it should be, and it's not at the level they're capable of at. I think they're better than that.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the episode in full and our chat with Jen Clossy about her Ireland debut, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.